You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action. On this edition, you'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm with Dave Kellner, Rory Delaghi and Sean Quinn in the studio. It's Epsom, Newcastle, Ripon, Chepstow, Cartmel and Huntingdon on Monday afternoon. A busy bank holiday in prospect. We've also got a twilight card over the Irish Sea from Roscommon. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. How are you, Ali?
Not bad, thank you, Mark.
Good man. Let's just start with a quick look at the news and yesterday's results, and then we'll get stuck into Monday's action. Alistair's got racing at Ripon and Epsom to look forward to for us, but we'll start with Saturday's action. The big winner of the day was Cody Bear, winning the Celebration Mile at Goodwood. Apparently the plan with him now is to go to the QE2, but starting with Saturday's performance, he was impressive, wasn't he?
He was, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the race rather fell apart. I think... You know, his odds on for a reason, but yeah, he did a lot wrong, and yet was still an emphatic winner. You know, he pulled. I think they were keen to try and teach him something yesterday, and you know, at Salisbury, he made all yesterday. They tried to get a lead. I mean, he was still keen enough, but you know, he's much too good for those. And Clive Cox, you know, it's pretty significant. He's had some, you know, really good horses, sprinters especially, and you know, he thinks this fellow's the best he's had by some margin, and. You know, he did nominate the QE2 as a likely target before yesterday. So, having done it so well, you know, all roads lead to Ascot. And if it's soft ground there, then he could well be a serious player.
Yeah, he's got the favourite, the Antipost favourite, Solo, in his way at the moment. Even money at the top of the market. Glen Eagles 4-1, 7-1 for Cody Bear. Territory's 8s and 10s are bigger for the others. Can he get close to Solo, or can he beat Solo?
Well, he should never be scared of one horse, and Solo's been on the go a long time. He was running, you know, out in Dubai earlier in the year, so, you know, he's had a few runs, and he should never be afraid of one horse, especially late in the season. I mean, Glen Eagles is 4-1, but it's got to be an even money chance whether he even turns up. I mean, if it's any cut underfoot, then he, you know, given the way they've campaigned him this summer, it's unlikely that he'll be running. So, I mean, 7-1, if you take 7-1 about Cody Bear, and you did get a wet autumn, then there probably, you know, there could be a handful of runners, and you're sat on a 7-1 ticket each way. Mm-hmm. You know, fifth the odds, first three. I mean, happy days, and you'd be, you know, you'd be very disappointed if he was out the first three. So I tell you what, there's worse anti-post bets than Cody Bear, given that he's virtually a guaranteed runner. And, you know, Solo is completely dominating the market, and that's why he's 7-1. So, I mean, you know, if somebody was going to back him right now each way for that race, then it wouldn't be the worst bet they'd ever place.
Yeah, I think there's every chance he's not going to be 7-1 on the day. So,
absolutely no hope. I mean, even if 14 turned up, he's not going to be a 7-1 chance, and, you know, they're not going to get that money.
Okay, so a nice...
Sound like going backing? talk myself into it.
There you go. Cody Bear, then that's his performance. A couple of other ones I want to touch on from Saturday. I was going to mention one at Beverley as well. So yeah, we'll go to Beverley next. The winner of Marek in the Beverley Bullet.
Yeah, it was a good race. I tipped Line of Reason, the runner up, and never thought for 1 second it was ever going to get beat. It had the perfect run through from the inside. They went very quick on the outside, which, you know, helped. Graham Lee on the runner-up. Unfortunately, it also played into the hands of the winner, Marek, as they did go really quick. And having looked absolutely nailed on to win, Line of Reason was caught close home by Marek, for whom it was an excellent performance on ground that would have been lively enough for him, you know. But, you know, we're talking about a genuine Group 1 sprinter here, you know, and... there's no question whatsoever that he'll go to the champions meeting at Ascot and have every chance there, you know, because he'll probably get his ground. And on his day, he's a very good horse in Line of Reason. Lost nothing in defeat in what was a really good renewal. A really good renewal of the Beverly Bullet.
Yeah. And with Marek as well, he seems to be better at this end of the season, especially with cutting the ground. And if he's got a strong pace to him like that, it proves that, I mean, even for him to win on good ground would be a bit of a surprise, wouldn't it? So
it would be, yeah. I think the stiff finish helped him.
Yeah,
you know, he's that sort of horse. He's always strong in it, you know, at the end of his races. And you're right, this is his time of year. So, yeah, Connections will be hoping they can win a couple more before the season's out.
Hmm. You were in the studio last night as well. What did you make of racing history at Windsor? The Godolphin horse.
Yeah, I was impressed with him. I was even more impressed with the other Godolphin horse that won the listed race, whose name completely escapes me, but the filly,
Beautiful Romance
yeah. Who was really impressive. And we were talking last night that I don't know if there's a supplementary stage for the Ledger. I don't think there is, but if there was, then, you know, in what's a really open year, they'd be very tempted to run that because yeah. It would have a chance. But yeah, she was really impressive, you know, beat a good horse in Gospel Choir as well, you know, a really solid yardstick, and quickened right away from that one, and they've got a lot to look forward to with both those horses.
Yeah, and there are no fillies in the Ledger at the moment, are there? So.
No, and they don't do bad in the race, so I don't think there's a supplementary stage, otherwise I'd have thought they'd give it a second thought.
Hmm. Anything else stand out to you on Saturday?
Oh, well, the horse won last night over in America, Andre Farb's Flincher, who, you know, when this horse gets decent ground, he is, you know, a real, real top notcher. I mean, obviously, you know, they'd be thinking of the Ark, but he's unlikely to get his ground, you'd have thought there. But he looks an absolute shoo-in for the Breeders' Cup turf, you'd have thought.
Hmm. You'd be previewing that for us, I imagine, again? Breeders' Cup.
I tend to, yeah.
Already building your portfolio.
I think I had the winner of that race last year because Main Sequence beat Flincher, didn't it?
Yeah.
But Main Sequence won't be there this year. And Flincher will have every chance of going one better. I don't know what price he is, but he is a major player.
I see if we've got any better.
For the Breeders' Cup turf. Trained by a genius in Andre Farb.
Yeah, we've only got Breeders' Cup Classic on site at the moment, so that's no good.
Well, keep an eye out and get on because he'll get his ground and... he's got history at the meeting. Plenty of positives.
Yeah. Well, we're on the subject of racing in America as well. American Pharaoh, the Triple Crown winner, went to Saratoga, the race course known as the Graveyard of Champions, and proved to be the case again. He got beaten, the Travers.
He did indeed, which is, you know, underwhelming all round, really. But you never like to see the good ones get beat by inferior horses. But it happens to the best. And it'll happen to the best in the future as well. And maybe just one step too far.
Yeah. Joining the likes of Manowar and Secretariat. That came unstuck in the Travers. But
indeed,
apparently they're talking about retiring him now as well.
So I've heard.
Which would be a bit of a disappointing end to a marvellous career.
It would be, but I find when the greats get beaten, they always try and, well, let's let him go out on a, you know, on a high. They very rarely do. They're more often than not, they get beat again. So we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else in the news or anything caught your eye at all before we move on to Monday?
Well, shame about Bart Cummins, wasn't it? He used to hate us Poms, but he was always good for a quote.
Yeah.
And, you know, an amazing bloke with an amazing record down under. That's, you know, sad news indeed.
It is sad news.
Great value, wasn't he, for that? I think the media loved him down there because whenever he opened his mouth, you know, he talked. Whenever he spoke, people listened. You know, he's a bit like John Gosden and William Haggis, you know, those sort of trainers. They don't waffle, and what they come out with, you know, it's worth listening to.
Mm. Let's move on then. Let's get stuck into Monday's action. Ripon and Epsom are the two meetings we're going to focus on. And we'll get Alistair's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll go through these in a meeting order, if you like, and we'll start with the action at Epsom, and then we'll move on to some very good racing at Ripon on Monday, starting in the 3.05 at Epsom, which is a handicap, a Class 2 handicap, over 5 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 8 here, Alistair, and we'll start here with Desert Command, who's got some decent form since the visor went on, but they've switched the headgear to the cheek pieces.
Yeah, new trainer. Yeah. He's changed the headgear. Go back and it's easy to make a case for this horse, and he's definitely returned to form the last twice in a visor, won at Salisbury over this trip of 5 furlongs, and then was runner-up over the 6 furlongs at this track, so we know he handles Epsom. as I said, the new trainer has got rid of the visor in favour for cheek pieces. And when it comes to Robert Cowell and his sprinters, you never question what he does. So, you know, I wouldn't treat that as a negative at all. The return to 5 furlongs will definitely suit. He goes on the ground. I think he's the one to beat.
Who's the main danger, then?
Captain Dunn must have a chance. This horse is well handicapped. He's won 3 times already this season, so he's been on a roll. But, you know, he's remaining competitive. He's been on the, you know, he's been around the block a few times. This horse is now 10. But unlike some of these, you know, he does run this track well. And he'll go on the ground as well. So plenty of positives for him. But I just think, you know, Robert Cowell's a bit of a mean machine, isn't he, with these sprinters? And I think Desert Command might be the one.
Okay. Just a quick line on the other Robert Cowell runner as well, Duke of Firenze. He's out of form, but if he were to bounce back, he's only a pound higher than his course and distance success a few years ago. He's becoming reasonably handicapped again.
He is becoming reasonably, dangerously well handicapped. The drop back to the minimum will suit. He handles soft ground. He's got course form. It's just a case of, it's just a bit of guesswork involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a dangerous ploy backing horses that are potentially well handicapped, thinking, you know, they're going to bounce back. But this horse does seem to, you know, his form has run cold and plenty of risks involved, I think, at the minute.
Yeah, so Desert Command for you.
Desert Command for me, yeah.
Yeah. The 445 at Epsom is a class 3 handicap. It's over 1.25 miles. This one's for 3-year-olds and older. Again, a field of 8 here, and I suppose we should start with Passover, who arrives here in pretty good form.
He does indeed, yeah. For Andrew Balding, this horse is only, he's still only a 4-year-old. He hasn't got a lot of miles on the clock. He's won his last 3 handicaps. I just think he gets to a stage where you've got to look to take them on, and not many win 4 on the bounce, do they? Yeah, he's definitely a player, but I'm always willing to take a horse on that's registered a hat-trick. And the other thing to bear in mind, that this horse hasn't really got any form on ground slower than good. So that's a bit of a, you know, a big question mark when you're talking about taking, you know, 9-4, 5-2, which is what he's likely to be trading at. So I'll be taking him on.
Yeah, taking Passover on there. To quote Lord Budden, he would be talking about grandmother's rule, and 3's fine, but 4's just greedy, so...
Well, I've never heard of that.
It's Lord Burton's grandma's rule.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. That's good enough for me as well.
Who'd you take him on with then?
Castini, I think, is the interesting one. Not a win machine. I mean, he's won 3 times in 26. Was well served by the strong pace when finishing well and strong in the finish to win over this trip on good to soft ground at Newbury earlier in the month. I mean, he's only going up £6. I think he can cope with that. What he does need is a strong pace, and I think if you go through the field here, you know, and at Epsom, that very rarely do they hang about. I think there's a good chance that he's going to get a strong pace to aim at. That's the key to this horse, and if he gets it and the race goes his way, I think off a £6 higher mark than at Newbury, he could well follow up. And I do like the booking of Paul Hannigan.
Yeah, Paul Hannigan running for the first time when he won at Newbury.
He did indeed.
Good to
yeah.
see him keep the ride.
It is indeed.
Castini then for Alistair in the 4.45 at Epsom. Moving to Ripon for a couple of races there. The 3.45 is the first one we look at. This is the Ripon Champion 2-year-old Trophy. It's a listed race over 6 furlongs, obviously, for the 2-year-olds. 9 of them in the lineup here, and a good race.
Absolute cracking race, yeah. You could, you know, with the exception of Silver Wings, who's beginning to look a bit exposed, you know, I couldn't put anybody off the other, what, the other 8. Mark Johnston, I think, holds a particularly strong hand with Muhadadat and Whitman. Muhadadat is, unfortunately, drawn in 1, which, you know, makes it very difficult for her, and I think Whitman's probably the one to be with. Made all in to win a Newbury Maiden. Then hosed up in a Nottingham Nursery. First 2 finished clear. That is really strong form. Went up £12 for that, but... despite that harsh rise, he then made the frame behind a really impressive winner from the Richard Fahey stable in a red-hot nursery at York. That was over this trip of 6 furlongs on good to soft ground. And, you know, I think that is the best piece of individual form on offer here, I believe. So I think if he replicates it only 12 days later, and sometimes that would be a concern, but not with a youngster from the Mark Johnston yard. And I think he's going to take a lot of beating from stall 6. Expect him to be positively ridden, and I'm sure he'll go close. He has got group race entries as well, so I think Whitman is the one to be with.
Jessica Whitman for Alistair in the Ripon Champion 2-year-old trophy. Just looking through the previous winners here as well. Interestingly, the last three winners have been drawn stall one.
Have they now?
Hmm. Hmm.
Maybe in smaller fields.
Yeah.
Tend to get this race can attract small fields, can't it, in the past? But
there's a spanner in the works.
Made me feel a bit stupid now.
Oh, I did. Nah.
But as a rule, it's hard to win from stall one, isn't it?
Whitman then for Alistair in the 3:45. The final race we'll look at is the 4:20 at Ripon. This is the Ripon Rowles Handicap, a Class 2 event over a mile, and a field of 10 here. Which one do you like there?
Yeah, I sort of went round in circles here. This is a really good handicap, but there's no question the intriguing horse is number 9, Quick Defence. He has been off since the July meeting at Newmarket, but he does return to action with his yard having winners, which bodes well. And I know he was disappointing at Newmarket at the July meeting, but if you put a line through that run, then he's a massive player on that 7th of 28 runners in the Britannia at Newmarket. He was actually 2nd of 17 on the stand side group. So I think if he replicates that form, then he's going to have every chance, being a relatively likely race 3-year-old against horses that are completely exposed. You know, you've got the likes of Penitent, Balducci, Dubai Dynamo, Osteopathic Remedy, who amazingly is trying to win this race for a fifth time, which I don't think it'll happen, but the fact he's won it four times is a real feather in his cap. The interesting one is Quick Defence, and I'm not overly concerned by the absence he's had. So in the hope that he can replicate that Royal Ascot form, I think he could be the one ahead of the handicapper here.
Let's just, as always, Ali, have a little bit of a summary if you'll spin us through your selections for Monday one more time.
Okay, so in the 3:05 at Epsom, we go for Desert Command. In the 4:45, hopefully Castini can follow up his Newbury win. Then at Ripon, it's Whitman who gets the nod in their big race, due off at 3:45, and Quick Defence in the 4:20 for Sir Michael Stout.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Alistair. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Alistair Whitehouse-Jones on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:20 PM. Dave Kellner, Rory DeLaghi and Sean Quinn will be the team in the studio. Busy day to look forward to as well. Epsom, Newcastle, Ripon, Chepstow, Cartmel and Huntingdon provide the action in the afternoon. We've also got a Twilight card from Roscommon as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do get stuck into that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.